Now, the next section is the three Vajra-like convictions. Okay? Vajra-like. Yeah? Or diamond-hard convictions. These are sometimes also called the three abandonments. Okay, so the first one here is to go ahead with our practice without considerations for what other people think about us because we practice. Okay, so this is going against that part of our mind that says, well, you know, if I practice Dharma, other people are going to think I'm weird. And if I tell people I'm a Buddhist, they might think I'm New Age. And this kind of stuff, you know, we're kind of ashamed of our practice. We don't feel real confident about it. We're kind of ashamed of it in some way because we're really afraid of what other people are gonna think about us because we practice. And I mean, I've noticed this in people. Many people, you know, when at work, when it just comes up in a casual conversation, they don't want to say they're Buddhist. Yeah, people who converted from other religions to Buddhism. And their usual thing is, well, other people are going to think it's weird. I think it isn't so much other people are going to think it's weird. It means we're embarrassed. Yeah, we don't feel comfortable with it. Because lots of times I've heard many people tell me stories about they've been so afraid of what other people are going to think about them practicing, but it's usually been all in their own mind, their own fear, and the other people haven't thought that badly of them. Okay? So this kind of fear of what other people are going to think about us if we practice, it becomes a big deterrent to practice. Because, and this is what peer pressure is all about, isn't it? This is what conforming to the American dream is all about. Or conforming to whatever it is we think we're supposed to conform to. Yeah, and we're very attached to our reputation, and so we give up our practice, you know, because other people discourage it, or we're afraid of what they're going to think of us because we practice. So this is a big hindrance, okay? So this does not mean that we don't care at all about the effects of our actions on other people. In other words, in saying, you know, to go ahead without considerations for what others think, you know, it means in terms of the Dharma to go ahead and practice without worrying about what other people think. It doesn't mean to go ahead and do anything else, anything we want to in our life, without concern about the effect it has on others. Okay? Because if we go ahead and follow our attachments and cheat people and deceive them and go into our families, well, I want to do this and I want my needs met and I want this and I want that, and we go into our families and our workplace, you know, I don't care what it does to you. I don't care what you think. I want my way. That's just more and more garbage. You know, that's not what this point's saying. Okay, we need to be very sensitive to the effects our actions have on others. But in the sense of giving up the Dharma because we're afraid of what other people are going to think, that we have to give up. Okay, why? Because it becomes a big obstacle in our mind and it keeps us really attached to reputation. Okay, and it's very interesting, you know, because if we don't live our life according to our own convictions, but we live our life according to what other people want us to be, we usually wind up to be very unhappy. And it's interesting, psychologists usually say that somebody who does this doesn't have a very strong sense of self, because they usually go along with what everybody else wants them to be instead of living according to their own ethical and principles. Okay? From a Buddhist viewpoint, yeah, the kind of person that does everything the way, you know, other people want them to do it, and I'm talking here about in a negative way, okay, giving up what's important to do worldly things, that person actually has a lot of self-attachment. Not, you know, they may not have a strong sense of self in a psychological way as having a sense, here's sense of self meaning the sense that I am an efficacious person. They may not have that because they're letting peer pressure and society overwhelm them. But from the Buddhist way of using the word self, they have a very strong sense of self. Yeah? And it's actually a sense, a lot of attachment to reputation. I want people to think well of me, therefore I'm going to do what they want. It's not because I care about them that I'm doing what they want. You know, it's not because I want to do this because I think it's good. It's because I want a good reputation. So there's actually a strong sense of self involved in that. Yeah. This is very interesting to think about, yeah? Because very often psychological things, they usually say, you know, this person that doesn't have boundaries and this person who goes along doesn't have any sense of self. In a psychological way, they don't. In a Buddhist way, they do. Okay, different ways to use the word sense of self. But you can see it. Yeah. Okay, then the second one of the Diamond Heart convictions is to keep the constant company of awareness of our commitments. Okay, so to abandon things that get in the way of our keeping our Dharma commitments. Yeah? So this, again, could mean abandoning what others think about us because we practice. It could mean abandoning negative influences of others that make us break our vows and commitments. It could mean abandoning laziness. Yeah. So all these things. And you can see we have to have a really strong awareness, of diamond hard strong awareness of our commitments and our vows in order to keep them going at any time and every situation. Because otherwise, if we don't have this, then, you know, someday if we find ourselves in the company of the people who drink, even though we may have a precept not to drink, we'll start drinking because that's what's expected of us, or because we're afraid what people are going to think. Or even we've taken a vow not to lie. If our boss wants us to lie for the business, we'll do it. Yeah. So, even we've taken commitments to do certain mantras or meditation practices every day, you know, we won't do it because we're too tired or we've forgotten about our commitments. We don't value them. So this Diamond Heart conviction is to have a very strong resolution to keep our whatever vows and commitments we have taken in our practice. And to really see them as ornaments, as jewels, as very precious things, not as things that get in the way. Okay, our vows aren't things that limit us from doing things and put us out in prison. Our vows are things that liberate us from our negative habits. Okay, and then the next one is the Vajra or Diamond Heart conviction, to carry on continuously without getting caught up in useless concerns. Okay? So, useless concerns like running after pleasure for this life. Or useless concerns like getting discouraged because we don't have what we think we should have. Yeah, discouragement and depression are big useless concerns. Okay? Because sometimes our minds can get very, you know, we're starting to practice the Dharma and then we think, oh, wow, I've devoted my life to this Dharma practice. Now I'm not the most popular person in Seattle. You know, or now, you know, all my brothers and sisters make more money than me. Or, you know, I'm 50 years old and I should have a retirement fund and I don't have it. What are other people going to think? And what am I going to think? And what's going to happen to me? Okay? So all this kind of discouragement, you know, this kind of fear or a judgmental attitude towards ourselves. I don't have all these worldly things, therefore I'm a failure. You know, I don't have a big business card with lots of titles. I don't have a, you know, this, that, and the other thing like everybody I graduated from high school has. Therefore, I'm a failure. Okay? So this kind of discouraged, depressed mind that is actually quite involved with attachment to the happiness of this life is something to be given up. Okay? But and instead, to have a very strong conviction not to get caught up in useless things. Okay. Now, it's important here to really emphasize that there's nothing wrong with having friends or wealth. Yeah? Dharma is not asking us to give up friends and give up wealth. But the thing is, if our attachment to these things get in the way of our practice, or if the influence of these things get in the way of our practice, then we have to be willing to give them up. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with having friends, but as soon as our friends start saying, "Why are you going to teachings twice a week? What a drag. You know, better stay home and watch television. There's this really good movie on," or, you know, "better do this, that, and the other thing." Or, "Why are you going to do Nune? You're not going to eat for a whole day. That's not healthy. You know, you should eat and keep your blood sugar up." You know, so all these things that people may say, they mean very well. But if this becomes a big hindrance to our practice, then maybe we have to give up those friends and seek other friends that are more in line with what we have as our firm conviction to be the meaning of our life. Doesn't mean we hate these other people, but it just means we don't remain stuck in our gooey attachment towards them. Now, similar with wealth. Nothing wrong with having wealth. But if having wealth takes us away from the Dharma, then maybe consider getting rid of it. You know, if you have to spend all your time worrying about your stocks and your bonds and your investment and this and that, and so you have no time to practice, then, you know, what's the use? Okay? So these things, you know, friends, you know, we can have very meaningful relationships with our friends. And in fact, I mean, Dharma friends are extremely important to us, and we should definitely try and cultivate them and make us the core part of our friendship, our mutual Dharma practice, where we really help each other in the practice. And then our friendship becomes very, very beneficial. Okay? Similarly, having money can be beneficial if we use it to help other people. No problem with having the money. So all these things are really centered around when these things become obstacles. And then there's three mature attitudes. So the first one is a mature attitude that is willing to be expelled from the ranks of so-called normal people because we don't share their limited values. Yeah? Now, this, I have to really emphasize here, this does not mean that in order to be a Dharma practitioner, you have to be expelled from the ranks of normal people and be considered a weirdo. Okay? It is saying that we have to give up that attachment that wants to belong and be appreciated and be accepted in the in crowd. Because if we're attached to that kind of thing, yeah, then it becomes an interference in our practice. Okay? So here it's, you know, this is also a thing of building up the courage to accept criticism because we practice. Because maybe some people will criticize us because we practice. Yeah, and to not get discouraged and overwhelmed if people criticize us because we practice Dharma, but just recognize these people have a limited world outlook. These people don't understand about rebirth. They don't understand about Buddha nature. We probably one time thought just like them. You know, it's not that they're bad people, but, you know, not to let ourselves get influenced by that. Okay? And so to be willing to be expelled from the ranks of so-called normal people. Okay? That means giving up the attachment to what other people think about us, giving up the attachment to being criticized because we don't share the same values as others. You know, because sometimes we do get criticized. Like, you know, I mean, maybe in the time of the Gulf War, if you went into the office and you said, I don't believe in killing, your colleagues might criticize you. Yeah? And so just having the courage to endure being criticized because we don't share the same values with other people.